Yeah, if you're here with small children, there's not a manned creche, but there is toys and stuff and a screen so you can see what's going on in here if you want to head through there. Well, it's the turn of the middle age group this week for camp. Last week it was the kids, but also the oldest ones. We were away at Limitless. And I think, I'm looking for Heidi, I think I must have been listening to the same preach as whoever was at Dover last night. Mike Pilavachi was preaching about the glory of God, it's the goodness of God. Anyway, that's another story, which I'm not going to get into. I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 36. George was supposed to be our preacher this morning, but he's not well. So I had a message earlier in the week, and I'd got something already to share, actually. So God had been speaking to me. So I just want to share that with you this morning. Hopefully we'll get George on to preach, you know, maybe next week. We just have to confirm that with him yet, but he's not here this morning. So anyway, great. So I want to read to you from Psalm 36, verse 5 to 8. And I was reading this early in the week, and God just spoke to me something out of it, and I just want to share what that is with you this morning. So it says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. And you feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." In general, I like change. Those of you who know me know that I like that. The chairs change in here so often or whatever. Some of you don't like change. Lynn's shaking her head at me. She doesn't like change. Sarah doesn't like change. Sarah's away preaching this morning in Burgess Hill. But in general, I like change, especially to stir things up, especially to get people out of like the rut that they're in and all of those things. But the question is that I want to ask this morning, do I like change when it means that I have to change? Because it might be something around me changes and I'm comfortable with that. Or it might be something that other people are doing changes and I'm comfortable with that. But when something inside me needs to change, am I comfortable with that? And really, this morning I read those verses because I read earlier in the week those verses, and the one that caught my attention was this: "You care for people and animals alike, O Lord." And that just sort of hit me between the eyes, because I know that my attitude and my worldview has not always reflected what God has in that. Now, it comes from the verse before that said, "Your riches are without limit." So God is not limited in the fact that he can care for both us and animals. But the thing that hit me was, I've always considered that like the animals and the environment and all of those things are there to serve me or to serve us as human beings. And suddenly, well, not suddenly, but over the years, that attitude has changed somewhat. But God really challenged me in the week about that. Do I really believe that? Is that my real worldview, that God's love and care and all of those things is as much, not only for all of us, but for the animals? I watched a program on the TV this morning. I sat down having my breakfast with a cup of tea, flicked on what I thought was the news. But BBC Breakfast this morning had a thing about tigers in Nepal. And there was this whole thing, and it showed the Queen going to Nepal when she was young. And they took her on a hunt, and they shot a tiger, and they shot a rhino, two of the species that we would never consider that now, but then we did, because things have changed in our understanding of the environment and all of those things. And I really don't want to, you know, focus on the environment this morning, except that God cares for it as much as he cares for us. And that should challenge us. But what I want to focus on this morning is that God was challenging me. And it's uncomfortable when God does that. And so I want to just really unpack that a little bit this morning, because what's God challenging you about this morning? And are you comfortable with that? You're probably not. But are you willing to allow him to do a work deep inside you to change you? Last week, we were at Limitless with some of the oldest youth, and it's interesting watching Josh and Jordan interact with each other. Those there will have seen this. They both are quite stubborn and think they're right quite a lot. This is also a trait of mine, by the way, but, you know. But they, what happens is they're trying to prove each other wrong. So somebody will say something. This is especially true of Josh. Jordan might say something, he gets his phone out immediately to Google it to prove that she's not right, and he says, I want to know if it's true. But what he's really trying to do is prove that she's wrong, and it's quite entertaining. It quite entertains each other, and they have a smile on their face when they're doing it. But it's just that thing, isn't it, that too often we are trying to prove ourselves right rather than accepting that actually, especially when God is doing it, we need to change. And so this week we've observed it. I'm looking at Larissa. I don't know who else is here that was there. We've observed sometimes they would say, sorry, because they were wrong. And, you know, as you know, I'm also like that. I think I'm right all the time. I usually am, but sometimes I have to say sorry. Sometimes we approach God that way. We try to justify our actions. We try to, when he speaks us about something and he says, that inside you needs to change, that attitude that you've had, that worldview, that thing that you do or that habit that you've got, and we try to justify it. We get our phone out and we're Googling to try and show God he's wrong. And so I want to ask you this morning, how do you react when God challenges you on something? When God convicts you of sin? When there's a habit that's not helpful and God wants you to change it? There are a few examples I've got here. One of them is this, denial. Some people, God challenges them and they deny that there's anything wrong. I don't do that. It's a classic, isn't it? It's not me. I didn't do it. Or, it's not sinful. That's not sinful. And there's a lot of people that try to justify sin in their lives, or maybe not sin, but habits that are not helpful. And they're trying to justify what they're doing rather than listening to God and responding. There's some obvious areas in the world where this is happening, that things that God says are wrong, and people are trying to persuade us that they're not wrong. And I don't really want to go into that this morning, because what I want to say is, what about you? What about what God's challenging you on? Are we trying to justify ourselves before God? Are we trying to say, that's not sin, even though God is telling us we need to do something about it? Here's the thing. When one of us says something, we can Google it and maybe we can show them that they're wrong. You can never show God that he's wrong. I remember years ago hearing a preacher say, if God doesn't want gravity, he just has to say the word. Cool, let's just float for a minute. Because even if it's not true now, God can change it with a word. God is always right. We can't argue with him. The second thing that sometimes we do when God challenges us about something in our life that needs to change, is the second reaction is this, is apathy. Doesn't matter. I don't care. It's not a big deal. How often that's the case? It's not as bad as that person over there. But here's the thing, we're not caring how God feels about this. The more often we repeat a sin, I didn't look up where it is, but I think it's in Corinthians, there's a verse where Paul writes, it sears our conscience. The things that we once felt guilty about, we stop feeling guilty about. The things that we once knew were wrong, if we repeatedly do them, we stop the shame and we stop the guilt. If that's the case, our prayer should be this: soften my heart, God. Let me feel about the things that I do wrong the way that you feel about the things that I do wrong. Let me not be apathetic. It doesn't matter. Let me see things the way you do. Another way that we react when God points out something, when God shows us something, is to be angry. Well, why are you speaking to me about this, God, when that person over there is doing this, 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 and this? We read it quite a lot in the Psalms, don't we? David and the other psalm writers write things like, why do the wicked prosper? And David's seeing people who are doing bad stuff and they're prospering, and he's angry. And that's often our response when God speaks to us. What about that person? And the answer, to only answer to that, is this: God is the judge of them, but God's the judge of me. And I'm the only one that can change myself. You know, no matter how much nagging or shouting or ranting or preaching you do, the only change comes from within us. And I can encourage you to do something this morning as I share God's word with you. But the only change will come when you do something about it. And I can tell you all the things that need to be done. But actually, the things that need to be done are the things inside me that need to be changed. And the fourth reaction that I want to share with you this morning, and there are others, but you know, these are the four that came to mind, is this one: is sorrow and repentance. God, I'm sorry that I've offended you. Too often we're sorry for sin because we got caught, or because of the consequences of it, or because we know we should be, because we've been guilt-tripped into it. Rarely are we sorry for sin because we know we have offended him. Because we know he is offended by our actions. And that should be our motivation. It should be the driver for us that makes us come to him. But too often it's other reasons. And those other reasons, as I said, aren't bad. But actually our first response should be, God, I'm sorry that I've offended you. I'm sorry that the things that I've done, or the things that I've not done that I should have done, or the things that I've thought and said have offended you. Too often our repentance or our sorrow is about the fact that we've offended somebody else. We should be sorry about that. But how often do we think about his response? I want to turn to Psalm 51. This is David. David has fallen into sin, and you may know this story. He's stayed at home when he should have been at the battle, and he's got involved with a woman that he shouldn't get involved with, somebody else's wife. And she gets pregnant, and ultimately he kills her husband so that he can marry her. And he doesn't even see his sin. And then Nathan the prophet comes and confronts him. And the story is quite incredible. Nathan confronts him with a hypothetical story about someone. But actually he's talking about David. And David gets angry about the hypothetical story. And then Nathan says, you know, speaking prophetically, it's you. And suddenly David has that moment of, I've sinned. I've offended God. And in Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance, his prayer crying out for mercy. And I'm just going to read it to you. Hopefully it will appear on the screen. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight, and you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You've broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sin. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach you your ways. I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then the bulls again will be sacrificed on your altar. David's probably been through all of those earlier things. Denial, apathy, anger. We know he's written, "Why do the wicked prosper?" But ultimately, he comes to repentance. He's probably seared his conscience. He's probably tried to justify his sin. He's blamed others because their sin is worse than his. Ultimately, he gets to the worst, you know, in a sense, murders somebody. And eventually, he's challenged by Nathan. And this morning, I just want to conclude really with the thought of, what are you going to do when God speaks to you? What's your response going to be? And God was speaking to me about, you know, my attitude towards the environment and stuff earlier in the week. But whatever it is that God speaks to you about, what is it your response going to be? Maybe your heart is hard this morning. Then our prayer should be, God, soften my heart. Maybe your conscience is seared. God, soften my heart. Maybe you're justifying your sin. Maybe you're blaming others. Ultimately, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. We're going to sing in a moment that old song based on this psalm that we just read, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And as we sing, maybe we can stand together and just our response can be, God, would you show me, like David prayed in another psalm, show me any wicked way in me, and let my response be sorrow and repentance. Let my response be one of soft-heartedness. Father, we want to thank you for your mercy to us. We want to thank you for your grace. And Father, how often you speak to us, highlighting areas in our life that change is needed, and how often our response is not what it should be. Father, help us this morning as we come to you to respond. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let's stand together and we'll sing this old song.